Good morning. This is the meeting of the House Fisheries Committee, and it will come to order at 10:05 a.m. in room 120. Today is Tuesday, April 5th, 2016. Members present, we have Representative Ortiz, Representative Johnson, Representative Millett, and myself, Chair Foster. Let the record reflect we have a quorum to do business. We're also joined by Kelly Burnett from House Records, Matt Kern from the LIO, and my, of course, my Fisheries Committee aide, Reed Harris.
You're Representative Suits, not Foster.
Did I say? Oh. Oh, did I call myself Representative Foster? Oh, my. I must really be.
I don't think so, Madam Chair. Whatever you say.
I must be in a real hurry. Sorry about that. And myself, Chair Stutz. Today we're going to bring back House Bill 251, the electronic tax return and fisheries tax. There is a draft committee substitute, 29-GH-2921/W. May I have a motion to adopt version W as the working document?
And Chair, I move we adopt CS for House Bill 251, fisheries. Work draft 29-GH-2921/W is our working document.
Is there any objections? Then we will consider version W our working document. And I will object for purposes of discussion and have my committee aide, Reed Harris, put himself on the record to indicate the changes to the bill. Welcome, Representative Herron. And I will also pass the gavel to Rep. Millett to address this. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Harris, if you'd like to put your name on record and identify yourself and explain the changes in the CS.
Good morning, Madam Majority Leader. For the record, my name is Reed Harris. I'm staff to Representative Louise Stutz. If I could turn the committee's attention to the document labeled House Bill 251, Explanation of Changes, Version A to Version W. Version W does a couple of things. Namely, it establishes the Alaska Seafood Marketing Fund, which is established in the general fund. This takes the fisheries tax. It also takes the fisheries landing tax revenue created from this 1% increment in the fisheries and landing taxes, and deposits it into the Alaska Seafood Marketing Fund. Section B of Section 7 in the Explanation of Changes says the legislature may appropriate the annual estimated balance of the fund to the ASME fund established under 1651. Section C, it should be noted, says nothing in this section creates a dedicated fund, so this is a designation, not a dedication. The CS version W also eliminates the 1% increment on the canned salmon tax. We heard a lot of testimony from producers of canned salmon saying that due to a glut on the market, an expected large run in low salmon prices, selling the product that they have on hand is already a challenge, and the office felt that eliminating that tax would be fair, or not the tax, but excuse me, the 1% increase on the canned salmon tax would be a fair thing to do in order to help the industry out a bit. Page 2 of the Explanation of Changes, Section 11, also says that 0.5% of the value of the fishery for the landing tax goes into the ASME fund. So this has both the fisheries tax and the fisheries landing tax going into the ASME fund. The rest of page 2 and the rest of page 3 change the percentages that are deposited into the general fund from 1 to 0.05%. to reflect the 0.5% going to ASME. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Any questions from the committee? Representative Stutz, did you want to talk about any of the changes?
No, I think that Reed did a really nice job. Thank you, Reed.
Anybody else? Okay, with that, Madam Chair, I'm going to take a brief at ease. Hand you back.
Remove my objection, and if I hear no objections from this committee, we will move this bill out of committee to House Finance. Representative Christ Tompkins?
Yeah, I was wondering, would it be possible to offer amendments?
Yes.
Okay.
Before we move it out.
Yes, yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative. And I would like to hear your amendment now.
Sure. Madam Chair, I'd like to move amendment number one, work order is 29/GH2921/W.1.
I'll object for discussion purposes.
Sure. Madam Chair, if I may, this amendment effectively eliminates the tax differential for developing fisheries and was motivated by testimony we heard that the developing fisheries sort of having that as a separate tax category created sort of a paperwork headache and that you have to calculate different tax rates for these different sort of small boutique species, and this amendment eliminates that tax differential and also is, I guess, revenue positive on the whole.
And for the record, this is Amendment 29-GH2921/W.1.
That's correct.
Are there any questions for Representative Christ Tompkins?
Madam Chair, I'll remove my objection.
Okay, seeing no objection. Are there other amendments?
Madam Chair, I'll introduce amendment number two, and the work order is 29/GH2921/W.2.
I'll object for discussion purposes.
And Madam Chair, this is maybe more just flagging an issue that sort of came to several members of this committee's attention and certainly my attention. This speaks to CFC permit fees and that they're capped and that there's effectively not a proportional burden of paying into the system for administration of commercial fishing in Alaska. And I might withdraw this amendment, but just sort of wanted to note this issue as something that attracted my attention, and that there's a lot of that Alaska-based fishermen are paying pretty penny for running this agency, and there maybe is a more equitable way to approach that.
Thank you. Are there questions?
Madam Chair, I'll remove my objection if he's withdrawing the amendment.
Are you withdrawing your amendment?
I'm withdrawing the amendment.
Madam Chair, okay. I'll remove my objection.
Thank you. And if there's no objections, is there any further discussion from this committee? Seeing none, in addition to the changes we've made to House Bill 251, I'd like to get the Department of Revenue and the Department of Fish and Game on record about their intent to close the problem or undervalued species and catch share bonus loopholes, which could bring in extra revenue. It's been brought to the attention of this committee that there are selected species with potential differences in valuation, including Agca mackerel, Greenland turbot, yellowfin sole, rock sole, wreck sole, flathead sole, Alaska plaice, skates, arrowtooth flounder, and yellowfin sole. Additionally, we have existing language in AS 43-75-290-7C stating the department should collect taxes on, quote, the actual price paid for the fishery resource by the fisheries business to the fishermen, including indirect consideration and bonus amounts paid for fuel, supplies, gear, ice, handling, tender fees, or delivery, whether paid at the time of purchase of the fishery resource or tendered as a deferred or delayed payment, unquote. I interpret this to mean that all fish that cross a company's dock are to be taxed regardless of how the company decides to issue payouts or dividends. The departments have assured me that they are working on this and administratively, but in keeping with suggestions made by testifiers in this committee, I'd like to go on record as supporting this idea and hear from both departments. So, please state your name and your affiliation.
For the record, Jerry Burnett, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Revenue. I'll start with the second issue first. The Department of Revenue has recently added a tax auditor in the fish group, and we have had internal discussions to make a priority of examining tax records, auditing to look at the issue of indirect payments to fishermen and whether or not we're collecting the correct amount of tax. We won't obviously be able to tell you what the results of that are publicly because our tax records are confidential and taxpayer information is confidential, but I can assure you that that is a priority for our audit group in the fish group for this coming year.
Thank you, Commissioner Burnett. But and what prompted this was, as I stated earlier, the discrepancy in pricing, and sometimes there would be bonuses paid instead of retro settlements. It is the position of this committee, I believe, as a whole. The concern is that the state is taxing every pound of fish that crosses the docks. What happens after that is up to the company or however they want to distribute it, as long as it's a fair practice.
Yes, Madam Chair, that's correct, and we've certainly had discussions to the commissioner level and down through the tax division to make sure that this is flagged as a priority. On the second issue, which is the establishment of statewide average prices for fish and the problem species, the Department of Revenue and the Department of Fish and Game have been collaborating, and we had a meeting yesterday and discussed the methodology for establishing prices for those species where small numbers of them are actually processed on shore. I mean, you talked about yellowfin sole, which I believe is something like 500 million pounds of yellowfin sole that's landed or caught, not landed necessarily. And it was priced at a penny a pound or 2 cents a pound in the past, and we'll be looking at that price. There are people from the Department of Fish and Game that can speak to that, too.
Thank you. Are there questions from this committee for Deputy Commissioner Burnett? Representative Johnson.
Thank you. You know, you said, sorry, thank you, Madam Chair. Jerry, you said you couldn't report. You could do an aggregate number, though, as long as you didn't identify a taxpayer, and if we could kind of extrapolate how much the difference in what has been and what is, so we could kind of get to that number.
Yes.
Without knowing who's paying it. So I think you know, your ability to give us a number is there, but not broken out. Is that?
Yeah, through the chair, Representative Johnson, clearly we can't speak to individual actions taken, but we can speak to the amount of additional money that is collected by audit through audit in a tax type, if there's enough different taxpayers that are audited. So yes, but audit and examination results are reported in the annual report of tax on an aggregate basis.
I'm sure. And is that number three taxpayers or is there a number set on that, or is it just? I'm probably mixing resources here, but there's a number that you, if there's only two, you certainly couldn't, but if there's five or seven, you could do an aggregate number.
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, generally speaking, taxpayer information has to be aggregated with at least three taxpayers, but there may be cases where because one taxpayer is known to be much larger or something, we may not be able to do it without even more taxpayers. I mean,
And Madam Chair, just the point is, I think that we would like to know if this is generating the results we want, as opposed to just adding another auditor out there who can't tell us anything and lives in, I don't want to say la la land, but that's kind of where some of these guys end up when you can't report, you can't tell us anything. And so I do want to put on record there is a way for us to kind of extrapolate to get to whether or not this is the right thing to do.
Yeah, so, thank you, Chair, to Representative Johnson, yes, thank you for that.
And Deputy Commissioner, along those lines, this is probably a pretty preliminary question, but in your high view, do you have any numbers that might be involved in the difference?
Madam Chair, no, I don't, and I think it would be totally speculative. You know, okay. We assume that information reported by taxpayers is legal and correct.
And thank you.
Find out otherwise.
I kind of had the answer before I asked, but thank you. Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, Kevin Brooks, Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Fish and Game. I would just echo Deputy Commissioner Burnett's comments. The department, this is an issue on the swap prices, statewide average price, that the department's been actively working for several months. We met yesterday, spent about an hour with the folks, and what we've done is developed a methodology for imputing a value where we don't have a representative sample on a large harvest like that. So we're going to be able to impute a value. We've vetted it with National Marine Fisheries Service that does a similar calculation, and we think we have a good methodology. We're going to communicate that to taxpayers and implement it. So we've heard what the committee has said. We've been working on the issue, and we think we have a good solution that we're going to share with folks that would be affected by it.
Well, that's great. Are there any questions? Thank you, Commissioner, and I will just let you know that this committee will be watching with both eyes open.
Thank you, ma'am.
You bet. Thank you. Are there any other questions from this committee? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion to move this bill out of committee to finance.
Madam Chair, I move CS for House Bill 251 Fisheries 29-GH2921/W as amended with attached fiscal notes onto the next committee.
Do I hear any objection? Seeing none, this House Bill 251 will pass to finance. This committee will be meeting again at 5:30 this evening in room 106, which is the Hess room. We will be addressing House Bill 283 National Resource Water Designation and House Bill 366 Commercial Fishery Entry Permit Loan Banks. That there will be no public testimony and it will be for discussion purposes. There is no further business to come before this committee, so we will adjourn at 10:18.